thank you this morning because your word is a light at any point in time. It reveals to us things that appear to be dark and confusing. Lord, we ask this morning as we study your word, open our eyes of understanding. Every wrong assumption that we have, Lord, let your word expose those things to us that we may run with the truth that you are about to set in front of us in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask that the power of the Spirit of God that is able to know the mind of God and interpret to humans, oh God, that Spirit will work in each one today in the name of Jesus. Father, have your way and let your people be blessed indeed, for we have asked in Jesus. But what is heaven? No, let's be, I don't want us to be church type, you know. Tell me exactly what you perceive or understand heaven to mean. Don't worry about whether it's a wrong answer or a right answer. There is
a place of eternal glory.
It's a place of eternal glory. Okay. So it's a place.
Yeah.
Okay. You know where, you know I'm going there, right? She knows where I'm going. Yes, sir. Oh, no, no. You're checking dictionary, right? It's allowed. But you know, I'm going to ask a follow-on question if you check dictionary. Yes, a place. If you read from dictionary, what does the dictionary say? Webster.
No, it's not dictionary.
Oh, okay. Just want to check your note. That's fine.
Firmament. Holy dwelling place.
Holy dwelling place. You know, the word firmament is basically, we're going to see it. I will try to picture it here for us. Firmament is just an horizon. Is you know, anytime when we sing the song, you know, yes, the firmament of his power. Firmament is a shape, is an imaginary shape that separates things, you know, but we think it is some structure, you know. So it's a place, yes, any other person. So when we say it's a place, we mean it is a place someone can go. So we can travel from here to that place. Okay, you know you're going to answer more questions based on that. How do you know that? Because the pastor said so? Because our parents told us so? Because we believe that, well, if you say something otherwise, people will think you are not a Christian? How do you know there is heaven? Please. I know you know. That's why you at least said it's a place. Okay, let me start with those that have volunteered to answer.
How do you, the Bible.
Because the Bible says so.
Yes.
Okay, yes.
Because in Genesis it says
Genesis, which book, ma'am?
One.
Genesis chapter 1.
Verse 1.
Let's go there. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Please follow me as she's trying to defend. We don't have witness box today, but we will have asked you to come to defend the truth. Yes, ma'am. Please go ahead. Okay. From the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay. But doesn't say much. Yes, ma'am.
Revelation 4.
Revelation chapter 4. Yes. Which verse?
From one.
Let's read together. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. Yes.
After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven.
Okay, so here, that's what I wanted to draw. So it means in heaven, there is a door standing open in heaven. So heaven has a door. Yes? Let's begin to take note. What else do we know about heaven? God created heavens. Heaven has door. Yes? Deuteronomy 26, verse 15. Yes, sir. Yes? Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 15. Yes. You want me to read from here?
Okay.
Look down from your holy habitation from heaven and bless your people Israel and the ground that you have given us as you swore to our fathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. So basically it says that heaven is the holy habitation of God. No?
No.
You got the wrong scriptures.
No, that's right scripture.
Right scripture, but wrong display. All right. Let's quickly start here. Please, I wanted to paint this picture because where I'm going this morning is a very important question. America or in the most civilized world, if you bring up an issue and talk about heaven, people will look at you and say, okay, what are you talking about? Christians, the fundamental of our faith is that eternity exists on the other side of here. All right? And it's a good background we have. This is a scientific picture of the earth or the moon. Right? Is this the moon? It's the moon. And they show us that the earth looks like this too, and it's floating in some emptiness. Let's quickly look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Like she pointed out before, God created the heaven and the earth, but no picture of what it looks like, right? Verse 8. Let somebody help us with verse 8. Genesis chapter 1, verse 8.
And God called the firmament heaven.
And God called the firmament heaven. Remember, firmament is the apparent surface of the imaginary sphere. Apparent surface. And God called the heavens what? Yes, he called the firmament heaven.
So the evening and the morning was the second day.
Okay, so meaning that God made heaven. Look at, assume that heaven is like a square or a box on top, right? And then God called every other thing to be separate from that heaven. Yes? Verse 9.
Then God said,
yes,
let the waters under the heavens be gathered together.
Okay.
In one place.
Yes.
And let the dry land appear. And it was so.
Okay. So on top is heaven. We don't know what it looks like. All right. And God said, okay, let it be separate. But things started happening beneath that. So a box under that is, God said, let the water gather together and let the dry ground be together in the box underneath it. Right. Okay. Imagine what I have here, this black, two black speakers to be. This is the heaven. And then the earth is beneath it. Alright, so if this is the earth, you have the water and the ground in it, but in heaven we don't know what it looks like yet. It's just a picture we have in our head, right? Verse 14.
Then God said,
yes,
let there be light in the firmament of the heaven.
Okay, let's pause a little bit. Remember that firmament is just an imaginary thing that separates the heavens from the earth. And God said, let there be stars and light. Where? In the firmament of the heaven to divide the day and the night. Okay, so between these two boxes, there is something in between them called stars. Based on the scriptures, Genesis we are reading today. All right, it says there will be light, and those lights is what will divide the day and the night. But please pay attention to this scripture. I don't know if you have read this before. There's a question that will follow it. Second part of it. And say, let them be for what? Signs and for seasons and for days and years. Have you seen that before? So the stars in the heaven will be for signs. What signs? Different things, right? This is one of the tricks in the New Testament. People ask this question. How did the people from the east come to know where Jesus was? Bible says they were following the stars. But we have teachings that we should not be doing zodiac signs. Should we? I'm just raising more questions this morning. It says, and the stars will be given for there for your days and nights. And you know, when we say stars, sun is a star. It's a bright light. Every other thing you see right there, star. So everything in between the heavens and the earth, you have billions of stars as we know it to be today, right? That was not told us. We're just saying what we know. Verse 15. What do we have in verse 15? Yes? Yes?
And let them be for light in the firmament of the heaven.
Yes?
To give light on the earth.
Okay, verse 17.
God set them in the firmament of the heaven.
Yes.
To give light on the earth.
God set those stars to be there. And verse 20, what do we have?
And Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures,
mm-hmm.
and let birds fly above the earth,
mm-hmm.
across the face of the firmament of the heaven.
Amen. The only thing we have gotten from Genesis, and we understood from the scriptures that Moses wrote this, was that God separated the heavens from the earth. And the earth has water, bodies of water, and then the ground. And then in between, we have stars that will give light, that will give us for seasons and signs and days. We are trying to be scientific, going by the word in the Bible now. Okay, so you begin to say, well, Steve, that doesn't say anything about heaven yet. What does heaven look like? That was Moses' account of what heaven looks like. And he went further in Genesis chapter 7 from verse 1. Let's quickly read that. Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. Genesis 7, 1. If you're there, you can read for us. Genesis 7, 1.
And the Lord said unto Noah,
yes.
Come thou,
uh-huh.
and all thy house,
uh-huh.
into the ark.
Yes.
Of thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation.
Uh-huh. Verse 19. 7:19.
And the waters prevailed,
uh-huh.
exceedingly upon the earth.
Yes.
And all the high hills,
yes.
that were under the whole heaven,
uh-huh.
were covered.
Okay. The Bible here said that there was a flood at a time that the water came from where? Did the water come from? From the heavens? And it flooded the earth. So if you look at my simple illustration, if the water was coming from heaven, then there's an assumption that heaven has a storehouse of water. In fact, scripture uses so many, it says the great deeps of the heaven. In fact, it calls it the floodgate of heaven. Do you have that in your Bible? When it says the floodgate, let's read Genesis chapter 8, verse 2. Genesis chapter 8, verse 2.
Now the spring of the deep of the floodgate,
mm-hmm.
of the heaven has been closed,
uh-huh.
and the rain has stopped falling.
Okay. The Bible says that when the Lord opened the floodgate of heaven, then there was flood. And after some days, he closed that floodgate and the rain stopped. So what do we know about heavens? There are some floodgates. Of course, we jumped in Revelation last time and we saw that he said that there was a door that was open in heaven. These are just sketches. Remember when we were sketching love and sketching faith? We're trying to describe it based on our best, whatever the best effort we have to paint it for someone else to understand it. This is Moses trying to interpret what he could see. And you know, Bible told us about the story of the children of Nimrod when they wanted to build a city that was reaching to heavens, right? Do we remember that scripture? Genesis chapter 11. I quickly want to point this out to us. Within what we are going to do today, we cannot finish it, but we're going to finish it next week. Is heaven real? From scriptures, Genesis told us God made heavens, separated the heavens from the earth, put stars in between that will give light and signs and make us to differentiate between the seasons. And now, God said at a point there was a flood upon the earth, according to the account we have in the Bible, and the flood came because God let loose the floodgates of heaven. Meaning that there is a floodgate there that caused the flood to come upon the earth. In Genesis chapter 11, Bible says something about children of Nimrod. That they were a great people and they went to a plain of Shinar. And they wanted to build a city and a tower that would be reaching to heavens. So they have an idea that from this earth, they can reach to heavens. Think of it as the NASA project. We want to build some missiles or some guided rockets that can reach from here through the stars and find a living soul somewhere. I'm not saying that doesn't make sense. It does make sense. But the project is, can we find life or some intelligence greater than us beyond the stars? Of course, it's far, far away when you get into the stars. There's a huge gap in there. But Bible says something here that God decided to confound their language because of one reason. Why did God confound their language? Because God didn't want them to come to heaven? Why? Why did God say, no, you cannot build this city? Do we know? Let me point you to something in the Bible. The Bible says something in Genesis chapter 11, verse 6. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do, and nothing that they propose to do will not be impossible for them. Come, let us go down. Put a question mark there in your Bible. Who was God talking to here? Let us go down and confuse or confound their language, make them not understand what they say when they say some things, so that, you know, they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from over the face of the earth. Why did God separate them? God split them because, let's see what they said. Their goal was in verse 4. They said, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with a stop in heaven, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed. Their goal was that they will not be scattered. God said, I want to be scattered. Okay. Of course, you can begin to put question. What is God's... Does God care if you stay together or you're scattered? But here, it's recorded here that God said, I want you to spread and, you know, propagate on the earth. So those are the pictures we are beginning to get from Moses. You have not seen anything from heaven. So now let me ask you, from Genesis, what does heaven look like? From Moses. It's still very shady.
Golden gates there.
There's a gate there, water came from there, but nothing more. Let me turn around the table. Jesus came. Did Jesus talk about heaven? I'll start with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven. So Jesus was referring to God as living in heaven. Okay. Let me make myself to be a cross-examination lawyer now. Do you trust absolutely the words of Jesus?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
At any point in time, you will never doubt what he said. Yes? Yes? Okay, so when he called the disciples and said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, you believe absolutely that Jesus was speaking about God staying and living in heaven. Yes? You have doubts about that? No? So God dwells in heaven. God made heavens and the earth in Genesis chapter 1. Then how can that be? If God lives in heaven, but he made the heavens and the earth. Yes, sir? No comment yet? What else did Jesus say? Let's open this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. What I'm trying to bring out is for us to understand, is heaven real? Because many Christians will say, oh yes, it's true, we know. But if you really ask them and say, tell me if you really believe it, they'll say, we don't even know where it is. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Let's quickly look at that. We have just a couple of minutes left. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21. If you're there, help us read quickly. Matthew 6, 19 to 21.
Do not lay up for yourself treasure.
This is Jesus talking. Do not lay up for your treasures where?
On
this earth, the second box below. Don't lay for yourself treasures here. Yes?
Where mouth and rust destroy and dirt.
Correct.
Yes.
But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Okay, and that picture we have from Jesus is this. In heaven, you can lay up treasures. So, we know God abodes and lives in heaven. We know that there are floodgates of heaven. We know that the heaven is far above the stars from our understanding of the scriptures, literally. And we know that Jesus said, you can lay treasures in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's look at something in John chapter 15 quickly. And we're just quickly trying to look at something and understand something this morning. John chapter 15. If you're there, you help us read. Let's start from John chapter 14, from verse 1, 1, 2 through 4, or 3. Yes. John chapter 14, 1 through to 4.
John 14, 1.
Yes, sir.
Do not let your heart be troubled.
Yes.
Trust in God.
Yes.
Trust also in me.
Yes.
In my father's house are many rooms.
In my father's house there are many rooms. Which father? God. He says there are many rooms in my father's house. What else do we know about this heaven? There are many rooms there.
Yes.
Let's go. Yes.
If it were not so, I would have told you.
If that is a lie, I would have told you there's really no room in there. Yes?
I am going there to prepare a place for you.
Uh-huh.
And if I go and prepare a place for you,
yes,
I'll come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am.
Thank you, sir. Do you believe this scripture? Jesus said, in my father's house, there's a great mansion. In fact, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go there and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will receive you unto myself. This is where the rubber meets the road. Is it that you actually say that you believe Jesus or not? Do you think Jesus is telling the truth here? Absolutely the truth?
Yeah.
So it means Jesus is referring to a place. He says, I am going to that place and I'm coming back to get you. Is that true?
Yes.
So it means that your final place as a Christian is really heaven. Except Jesus is lying here. It means that the end, the goal, the ultimate that we're looking at is to get to that place. And there is no investment of rocket launchers. Things that will carry every Christian and put us together and launch us into heaven. Where's that thing? Do you know that the Bible, like we said, is an amazing book? When God told Noah, prepare a boat and I'm going to take a lot of people said, forget it. It's not going to happen. And one day, Bible said that the Lord opened the floodgates of heaven and wiped off everyone, but only those that got into that boat or that boat-like structure were saved. When God told Moses, you're going to take my people out, and it was in front of the Red Sea, it was kind of, how are we going to get out of here? There's no cruise liner that will take us from here to the other side of this thing. And I said, don't worry, I'll take you through. And how did he take them through? Bible explained something. In fact, Paul explained in the book of Hebrews that he took the children of Israel and baptized them in the Red Sea. They were not baptized, but literally, they walked through the Red Sea like walking under the water to come outside on the other hand. So when Jesus said this, I am going to my Father's house, and we have established that heaven, because Jesus said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And when he's praying here, he said something very interesting, that is where I'm going to prepare a place for you. Because sometimes you may be wondering, I don't know where heaven is. Even if it's too far away, am I going to get there? He said, I'm coming back to get you. That it does not paint too much the picture. We know there's a place. We know God lives there. And Bible told us of some specific people that God opened there. As book of Ezekiel, we did a study in the book of Ezekiel here. Bible says that Ezekiel was sitting down by the river and the Lord opened the heavens. Let's quickly look at that quickly. I know our time is fast spent. I have just 3 minutes or so. But I want to bring something out here this morning. If you're there, the book of Ezekiel, I want to read the first few verses there. Chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1.
Verses?
Yes, you can start reading from verse 4 quickly.
Ezekiel 1 and verse 4.
Yes.
He said, I looked and I saw a windstorm coming out of the north, and an immense cloud with flashing lighting and surrounding by bright light. The center of the fire looked like a glowing metal, and its fire was what looked like a four living creature. In appearance, their form was that of a man, but each of them had four faces and four wings.
Yes.
Their legs were straight, their face were like those of a calf of glory, like burnished bronze. It's under their wing and their foresight, they had the hand of a man.
Let's jump to verse 28.
28?
Yes.
28 say, like the appearance of a rainbow in the cloud of rainy day.
Yes.
So was the radiance around him.
Yes.
This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell face down and heard the voice of speaking.
Amen. Ezekiel, by the time you read the entire, this is how Ezekiel was called. He said, I was sitting down and the heavens rolled open in front of me and I saw the appearance of the glory of God. If Ezekiel could see God, he must be seeing something definitely in the heavens. He said, I saw the throne of God, the glory of God. Isaiah said the same thing. I saw the glory of God. If, because we remember we talked about the glory of God is a manifest presence of God. So in heaven that we are talking about, remember we have not completely described what heaven looks like. We know that heaven is a place where God dwells. Heaven has mansions where every believer in Jesus will eventually be there too. Of course, we have not said where it is right now. Jesus mentioned that if we have treasure, we can put our treasure in that heaven. So we know who dwells in heaven. We know who can dwell in heaven. We have an idea of what heaven may look like. The question that I have in my heart is, do you think still that heaven is real? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. What is real about heaven? Remember this thing. This is where I'm going, and this is where we're going to pray and close this today. God is a spirit. Is that true?
Yes.
And when Jesus left this earth, okay, he ascended into heaven. Where did Jesus go? Heaven.
Yes.
Bible says that Stephen looked at when they were studying him, and he saw the glory of God, and he saw Jesus in the right hand of God, right? So meaning he saw heaven, literally. So if God is a spirit, who stays and dwells in heaven?
Everywhere.
Who stays as and dwells on the throne? That's why to make heaven is not very easy. The reason why we're studying this is to make sure that our faith is standing upon a very solid rock. Not on just idea or phony theology or something that we've always had, but we don't really have any expression of it here. And this is how I want us to look at it. We absolutely believe that Jesus was not just talking. In fact, in the book of John chapter 17, when he was praying, he says something specifically, and I'll read that and I'll make my conclusion. Genesis chapter 17 was when he was praying for disciples, when he was about to leave. He said something like this. Let me quickly open John 17. I'll read from here. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Most of the things regarding the Bible talk about Jesus always lifting his eyes to heaven. And he started addressing God that way. Father, glorify thy Son, because the hour has come. And he continued this way. Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to those whom you have given him. Do you think that there is dying in heaven? Will people die in heaven?
No.
Is there any problem in heaven that we know of, at least from the scriptures? So one of the attributes of heaven is anyone that can make it there or stay there has eternal life. Because they dwell in the presence of God. Because Christ already said there are mansions there for believers to dwell. And here Jesus taught disciples to pray to the Father who is in heaven. And here when he was praying specifically, he said it because he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, glorify me because the hour has come. Verse 2, you've given me power over all flesh that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given. That is just an implied statement, because if you are ever going to get to God, and you're going to ever get to God through Jesus, it means you're having eternal life. And this is eternal life. That they might do what?
Know.
That they might know. Know who now?
God in Jesus.
Know who?
God in Jesus.
God and Jesus that you gave me to. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world existed. Before the world existed, he said, I had a glory in the presence of the Father. What does that mean? That is the explanation of John chapter 1, verse 1. That he said, even before Abraham, remember we studied this last week when people were accusing him, and he said, before Abraham I was, they were like, you are not 50 years old. How can you even claim that you and Abraham saw you? Scientifically, I cannot describe heavens to anyone. Because if you check all the information we have, we just know from the truth written in the Bible that there is heaven. And Jesus said there is heaven. One way you can prove it is by going to heaven. One way you can disprove it is by basically saying, I don't think Jesus knows what he's talking about. Because that's the only way you can disprove it. Because if you absolutely say, I know Jesus, because that's the confusion. If Jesus is never a liar, and he did not come to deceive people, why will he make a promise? And he actually put in the clause there, John 14, if this were not so, I wouldn't have told you. It's a place of spiritual experience. People will ask us, this heaven, in fact, there was a survey on Washington Post and different places. They say Americans that believe in heaven, they are gullible, easily deceived. In fact, they said the most selling books are the fictions about people that under anesthesia, they said they saw heaven. They saw Peter, they saw glory of God, and these people came back and they say 5 minutes in heaven, 10 minutes in heaven. Peter knocked at me at the gate and he was jacking my shirt, you know. They did a lot of review of those books. And they said people just buy them because they're fascinated about heaven. But really, they think it does not exist. And I tell you, as many Christians, they don't believe there is heaven. And this is why I'm bringing this up this morning. It is not because I want us to start carrying that thought process in our mind, but you know the only way to get to heaven is by obeying the commandments of Jesus Christ. And we know, even if we deny it, that we have government, especially in America, that believes there is a power beyond the stars. I mean, you can check out why, but you cannot know all the secrets. There is some feeling. There are some things beyond the stars. Was Moses a scientific person? No. How did he know some of the things he described, that the firmament is in between the stars? Maybe by observation. But that time, there was no Hubble telescope. There was nothing for them to look far into the stars, but it was describing some of the things that really are true now. Where is heaven? What does heaven look like? That is the fascination of every Christian. And if you really believe it, the only way is to take the word of Jesus for what the word of Jesus is. In fact, when Jesus was being tried, he asked him, tell the truth. And he says, I am the truth. So what do you want me to say? If Jesus, if Christianity is really true, remember what Paul said also. If all this stuff in the Bible is not true, Christians are the most miserable people. Because you will have assumed and believed and hoped that there is something, but really there is nothing. But he said something. He said, I would die for this because I know it is true. Do you really know this is true? Do you believe it because you have thought about it and you have understood and you have accepted that Jesus was not lying? Do you think you will make it to heaven? Many Christians think they can get crushed. Many Christians think they can bribe God. I'm not saying you probably give him some money, but that if you do something that looks like what God would like, you will get there. I don't think there is a transportation fee or ticket you can buy. The only ticket is whosoever believe. Because he said here, he said, he has given me power to give anyone eternal life. And how does he give anyone eternal life? He takes them to the presence of God. If you have ever seen God one day, you will never doubt God again. Not one moment. Never. But the only opportunity we have is to really begin to see, is heaven true? Is it real? Is it real to me? Do I believe it? Do I understand it? Do I do everything possible to make sure I'm in line with the heaven? If you lie, you can put up any face, you can deceive anybody. I can be deceiving everybody in the world, but not myself. Because I know that I know what I'm doing. Deceiving people. All I want us to examine today before we pray is, do you absolutely trust or understand or know there is heaven? Hebrews tells us something that is very fundamental. Like Paul said, if you have seen heaven, there is no need to persuade people. In fact, dictionary website describes heaven as any place of bliss. Any. It's not one place. But that is contrary to the scriptures. It's not any place. That's one place. If there is one place, then what do we need to do to get there? Can God take me like this as I am to the presence of God? Will I get there when he comes? Now, I love this song. Will you be ready when the Lord shall come? Will you be ready when the Lord shall come? I will be ready. I will be ready. I will be ready when my God shall come. I will be ready. I will be ready. I will be ready when my God shall come. On that day, it will be over and finally over. You know, Revelation 21 says, and there will be new heavens and a new earth. Meaning that the two boxes we are looking at will be done away with. The book of Zechariah and Ezekiel and Obadiah, they talked about a time when the Lord will carry everything and close it up. We're not even talking about hell yet. We're talking about heaven. Presence of God. Where the glory of God exists. Where there are places. The Bible says it will wipe away tears from any single person that can make it there. Today I can worry about my children, my job, my mortgage, everything, my health. There will be no problem like that. On this earth, there will be a problem, please. As long as you're still a Christian, don't be deceived. Sometimes God may comfort you on sides, but not every time. But he guarantees that in the presence of God, there will be no tears anymore. Scientifically, I cannot prove this. I am a believer in science. But I believe God. You know, I cannot marry the two. There is a divorce between the two for me. I can observe the things that God has created, but I cannot prove how God has made all these things. If you look at butterfly or your eyeball or your liver or your even your body, the immunity system in your body is enough to shock you into reality how your body was designed to stay here. And Bible says we are God's clay, and inside of this clay, God has put a treasure to prove to us that God is God and not a man. This morning, I want to think about it and search the scriptures one more time. Do I believe there is heaven? If you believe there is heaven, anything that will disqualify you from making heaven, you want to begin to look at it and say, is this thing worth that opportunity? Is it worth enough for me to not make it? You want to pray more? We want to watch things you do more, and I pray God will help us in the name of Jesus. Let's just rise to pray this morning. I would like us to rise to pray this morning. One specific prayer point is that the Lord will open your understanding and you will see what the scripture is talking about as heaven. It's a place of eternal rest. It's a place where God dwells. It's a place where every and any treasure you put there cannot be stolen, cannot be destroyed, cannot be messed with. It is a place where Father has promised to whosoever believes in the Son. It is a place that is far beyond the stars. Of course, we can't just imagine it. Why don't you pray this morning and say, Father, help me to believe. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that the things we see, if we believe already, there is no need for hope. But they say we believe because we trust in the things that are yet to be seen. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Why don't you talk to God this morning? Father, help me to trust in your word, your promises, your counsels, the things you have spoken. You told the children of Israel, one time I will deliver you and take you to Canaan. They doubted it. You told Noah to tell people, I will do something. They doubted it. How many here still doubt if there is heaven and God is able to take people there? Why don't you ask him, Father, help me indeed this morning. Help me to understand it. Help me to believe it. Help me to know if I still have doubt, clarify those doubts in my heart today. I don't want to take the word of people for it. I just want to know for sure so that I can walk towards it. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Eternal God, the maker of heavens and the earth, I thank you this morning. Of course, I am an imperfect tool to ever explain the place of God. What is my place to even explain that at all? But Lord, your word said that if we understand these things, we will have hope and we will walk towards that plan. Lord, I pray this morning that you will explain the best way we understand in our hearts, even the meaning, the existence, the things, and the glories of heaven in our hearts in the name of Jesus. Anyone that still has doubt, Lord, I know it is not easy to just accept this as the truth. Lord, I pray you reveal those to us in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Bible said, and Joseph said, I'm going to divorce my wife because I cannot believe God was talking. And God revealed to him, and he changed his mind. Lord, I pray this morning you will reveal yourself, your glory, your power, your majesty, even in every heart this morning, that yet no one will hear doubt whether there is heaven or not. Lord, when our understanding gets to the end of its best, oh, let your spirit begin to extend us and take us to that beauty and glory of heaven. Help our infirmities, oh God. Help, oh God, our lack of understanding. Jesus said, I came from heaven, and yet you are contesting with me. Lord, I pray every act of us that will hinder us from accepting this plan and walk towards this plan. Lord, I pray you begin to help us overcome them in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every heresy that we might have had in our heart, there are many factions of Christianity today that says heaven is going to be here. Lord, help us to overcome every form of heresy. Father, we thank you this morning. I declare as your children will be going this week, Lord, I pray for the power of the Spirit of God, even to go with them at all times in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for your divine covering, your divine blessing, your divine favor in the name of Jesus. Everyone you touch and everything you do this week shall be blessed in the name of Jesus. Lord, I decree over your children, I plead the precious blood of Jesus. That blood will watch over you. That blood will keep you. That blood will preserve you in the name of Jesus. The favor of God will shine upon you at all times. The peace of God will reign over your heart in the name of Jesus. Every desire of your heart according to the will of God shall be granted in the name of Jesus. Everyone that may be troubling you spiritually, physically, emotionally, psychologically, I pray that the power of God will completely, oh God, frustrate such attempts in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, let your blessings rest upon your children. We thank you for our service today. Go with us, for we have asked in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.